Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times. To spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worth it.
Hi, I'm Imri, and welcome back to the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes high achievers from where they are to where they want to be in 30 minutes or less. I want to thank all of you for joining me again today for this very special episode of Wannabe. And also, excitingly, I've got a few new reviews, and one of them I absolutely adored. So Aquarius Poster Girl wrote, "Absolutely devoured this podcast. Great, intelligent, informative, and an incredibly helpful podcast. Always asking the right questions. It constantly provides support and inspiration. Big thank you." Thank you so much. That is like the kindest thing I have read, and it really brightened my day. So thank you so much for leaving that. Please do leave reviews on iTunes. It's like the only thing that I really ask for with regards to this podcast. And also, for the next person or next few people that leave reviews, I have one copy of Sarah Millican's Amazon best-selling book, How to Be a Champion. And all you have to do is leave a review on iTunes by this Friday, and I will select the best review, and you can get a copy of the amazing Sarah Millican's book. Right, now I'm going to move on into Support This. This week's Support This goes to StreetLink. StreetLink is an app that you can use when you see someone sleeping rough on the streets. The app allows you to register their location and the time you saw them, which alerts local support services so they can go and help them. It's getting very cold in the UK right now, and sleeping on the streets can be fatal for rough sleepers. If you see a rough sleeper, please use StreetLink. Please visit streetlink.org.uk. This week, I'm joined by brand and marketing expert Prisca Moyesa. The topic is financial freedom. We cover what it is, whether you need financial freedom to be successful, and how to achieve financial freedom. We also cover the fear of money and whether a money mindset is a real thing. So I hope you enjoy the episode. All right, so as voted by the listeners, we are tasked to talk about financial freedom.
Yeah.
It's a big topic. So, do you have a definition for financial freedom?
In terms of having a definition for financial freedom, I think it's always going to be a bit subjective. However, I do believe being financially free means to have that leg room to make any move and not feel like you have to stress about that side of life. Everybody's going to have a bit of, I need to maybe rebudget. I need to kind of get my paper and pen out and recalculate everything. But being financially free gives you that peace of mind to think, do you know what? I can make this move and I know I'll be okay.
Yeah, I agree. That is kind of my exact sentiment as well. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're rich. It just means that you're okay.
Yeah.
That could be as simple as that. All right. So now that we've kind of loosely defined financial freedom, how do we get it?
So again, it's one of the other things where it really depends on the person speaking, but you have to move away from being a consumer to being a producer.
Ooh,
yeah,
I wasn't expecting that answer.
you have to move away from spending a lot of your money on things and kind of using the things you have already to make money.
That's really clever and also sensible.
Exactly. That's how you kind of get that financial freedom. But you have to have a starting point. you have to have a point. So you have to have a bit of money in order to get that financial freedom. So you have to make a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe here's here's an example. Let's say I know I want to be financially free in a year's time.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, this is me. I'm going to tell you my story.
Yay.
So a year ago, I knew that end of 2017, I needed to be financially free. I needed to get to a point where I can make this business move, or travel here for a business meeting and be okay. So I said, you know, I'm going to sacrifice my sanity and I'm going to, I'm going to sacrifice. No, it wasn't them. It wasn't. I'm exaggerating, but I'm going to sacrifice that millennial want to be free and say, I'm going to get a 9-to-5 job working for a company that I don't really care about. And that's exactly what I did. I got a 9-to-5 job and I saved a lot of my money. And then at the end of 2017, I'm able to say, no, I'm no longer in that job and I'm financially free. I made that move in a night. I said, okay, well, I'm done now. I know this is the end. And I was only able to do that because I made a few sacrifices.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to spend a little. So like travel, for example, I live in zone 6, and anyone who, if you're from London, you know, that's very far.
Yeah, I do know that.
And I worked in zone 1. So that was £260 a month travel. God. So that was a sacrifice. But also I then had to sacrifice other things, such as spending money on clothes and only spending money when I had a major occasion. And that then enabled me to now look at my savings and say, wow, although in the short term that was painful because I didn't get to go out and do this thing, in the long term I'm really winning because I am financially free.
Yeah, I love that. I need to get on those levels. I was there. I'm really bad at saving. Like I was one of those people that didn't understand the point of saving. I'm like, I don't really want to buy a house, so what am I saving for?
Mm.
And it was only when my friend, who's really good at saving, she was like, but a rainy day.
Yep.
And I was like, what? And then I eventually I had to move out really quickly. Like I had to move. And I was like, well, crap. Do you know what would have been really useful? Because you need a lot of money for a deposit in London. And yeah. I was like, I have it. I don't have it. Like, and I need to move. And so I don't know, by some hard sacrifices, like you, in the space of maybe 2 months, I managed to pull together all the money I had went into that deposit. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to eat next month. But I don't want to go through that situation again. I use an app called Moneybox which essentially when you spend money, it has like some change. So if it's like $4.99, that penny will go into the Moneybox.
Ah.
And if it's like, don't make me do the math for some of these other numbers that might exist. Let's say $4.80, some square round numbers. 20p will then go into the Moneybox. So every time you're spending on your card, anything that it just rounds up and then it goes into your Moneybox. So I've been using that for, I want to say since maybe April of this year, I've got like about £500 saved up in there. So I've boosted it, not because I'm spending excessively, because I'm not, but you can also say, oh, I want to add like £2 a week or £10 a week or whatever. And then and in addition to your roundups. So I think I save roughly about £14 to £15 a week. That's I didn't even know I had £14 to £15 a week spare, to be honest. I didn't know. So every time I go into Moneybox, I'm like, oh, there's some money in here, but I can't touch it. It's really hard to take it out because they're like, if you take this out, we have to sell all your stocks and shares and it's going to take like a good few weeks. I'm like, well, I needed it now. So it kind of is it's such a deterrent.
Like I said in the beginning, you have to move away from being a consumer. And of course, you're gonna spend a few bit of money here and there, but you don't want to be a proper consumer and consume so much stuff. And then you look a year later and think, damn.
Yeah.
You know, like where's this money gone? And you look at those jeans that you end up ripping anyway because you wore them every single day, and then that one. Because usually when you look at our wardrobe, you usually wear the same thing.
I honest to God have worn these jeans every damn day.
Yeah,
like
you wear the same things, and then you think, I bought these pair of jeans because I was in that. It was a short term feeling that I committed to. I committed to that the little bit of joy it was going to give me, but long term it didn't give me joy. So really, it's not joy.
It's not necessary.
So you just have to think ahead of yourself. That's how you start. That's how you get to a point where you can become financially free in a sense. Or you could just save money. It's not even about being financially free. That's not the be all.
So the definition of financial freedom means actually you just have the ability to have the life that you want without it being you being burdened by financial stress and worry.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think a lot of people were thinking like, oh, for me to be financially free, I just need to have enough money to do what I want, which I think is ever so slightly different.
Yeah.
Because in one way, it's kind of like there's a proactive solution and the other one's a little bit more reactive in that, like, if I want to build my website or I want to build my brand, I need to have this much money now.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, no, you need to be nestling away from like quite a while away. And it needs to be a habit as opposed to something you just do to kind of achieve a goal. And I think, yeah, a lot of people get caught up in the, oh, I want financial freedom. And that means I receive a massive lump sum of cash. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't.
Like, unless you have a really great benefactor, sugar daddy, investor.
That stuff happens.
All of that stuff. Like, it doesn't just float down and slap you in the face with like, oh, here you go. Let me just bestow all the money you've ever needed. It's not that. At least it's not that for most people. But I don't think you necessarily need to be financially free to get started in a business or to start your project. And that, I guess that depends on the business or the project. Like, if it's quite tech-centric or building an app, I think, yeah, you might need to have a little bit of income before you get started. But you can also learn some pretty basic coding skills to get what you want and use GitHub repositories to kind of piece together and find a friend who knows a little bit of this and then find another friend who knows a bit of that. And then you piece together what you want. And then eventually you have enough of an idea that maybe you can crowdfund it or maybe you can speak to an angel. So I don't know if you necessarily need financial freedom to achieve your goals.
I don't think you need financial freedom to achieve your goals. I think about my agency. I pretty much bootstrapped it. And I wouldn't say at the beginning of it I was financially free. I just knew I've committed to this job. I'm going to get this amount next month and I'm going to save this amount from that job. I did not start off financially free, but I ended financially free. So no, you don't necessarily have to.
Yeah.
And you don't have to define, like, I don't see the financial freedom think, okay, this is why I'm successful. Like, no, I just see the fact that I've grown, that if you have growth, then that's success.
And also, I think there is something beautiful in being able to create through a lack of something. Like, the results seem a little bit purer. That's not to say that people who haven't had it all dashed.
I 1000% agree. Because you look back and you think, oh, that was hard.
Yeah.
But I did that.
You have to find creative solutions when you don't have money.
I made this work. And it shows that you're not entitled. You're not that person that thinks you can just get this money from somebody and make it work. You actually grinded. You did the hustle. You did the real work behind kind of being where you're going to be. And that feeling, waking up and knowing that my agency got to where it was with me making these heavy sacrifices and just kind of putting my money in the right places, is a great feeling.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling to have. Again, I'm not judging anybody else who does it differently, but there are other ways than, you know, investment.
So I haven't bought new clothes for myself in about 3 or 4 years.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
That's better than me.
There might be one or two items here and there, but like generally, and by one or two items, I mean, I went to Primark and bought like some tights.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't buy new things. So I really haven't bought clothes for like a good few years, but speaking of just sacrifice, like, people don't understand the level of sacrifice it takes to build businesses, and they don't understand the sacrifices you make because they see you doing well and they don't know, they think, oh, because you're externally looking and doing a lot that there's like money free flowing all over the place. It doesn't half the time. And so, like I said, I didn't buy clothes for 2-3 years, but I had a friend who's a stylist.
Oh, okay.
And she used, when she was out, when things went out of season, she'd do car boot sales with the clothes. And so before she came to the car boot sale, she'll come to my house and she would like, here's all this stuff, pick what you want. And I would get like brand new, like Topshop jeans, tags still on, for like £2-3.
Oh my God.
And car boot sales, and then like thrift stores and charity shops. And that's how I got new clothes that weren't new clothes.
Love it.
And I literally lived in those for like 2-3 years, quite content. And investing in quality goods over just like instant fashion like Primark and H&M has also helped in maintaining clothes just last for longer. So I think just making when you're making a sacrifice, it also forces you to make smarter decisions with your money, because me choosing, say, Primark choosing Gap over Primark just means that maybe that jumper might just last a little bit longer wear it a little bit more.
But you know what? Your friend made a smart decision and that smart decision rolled over onto you.
Yeah.
So not only is she taking what her skills are and her experience and her, I don't know, her grind and using that to make more money. And who knows, that money she made, she could probably put that in her savings. And then she's helped you kind of save more money. And that goes on to another point about being around people that have similar mindsets to you, or you're growing at a similar pace, I guess. Because I think Issa Rae did a video and she said about networking up and maybe networking more across. And this is the benefit of networking across, because you would meet people that are growing at the same pace as you and you guys will inspire each other.
Yeah.
And inspiring each and helping each other in the financial sense is one of the most powerful ways. All my friends are like, we're going to save money. We're going to look at the cheapest time to go on a holiday. Yeah. and we don't have to. But we do it because we know that we're in this for the long term. We know that in 5-6 years, when we have children or when we have family and friends that we want to spend money on, we'll be good.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worth it.
We were trying to get a space for the network. And as soon as I started the MBA, I was like, we're not doing that anymore. Like,
yeah.
It's actually not a cost-effective decision for us right now to find space. We have a space because one way or another, we're going to be paying for this space, whether the studio is here or not. Why are we going to add another space? So it kind of just made me really rethink how I did that. So I would definitely recommend finance courses if you can. And reading books or listening to podcasts on finance. I think Money for the Rest of Us is a really good one on like financial management and investing. But knowing how to run the finances for a business will force you to make better financial decisions. Anything finance related, I'm just like, I don't want to do it. And that, I think that's the biggest challenge as well, is that feeling of this is too hard or I just don't want to. And you really do need to just pull your finger out and just get it done.
Anything uncomfortable, you need to run towards. Like, literally, that's my motto now. If it's uncomfortable, that's where I need to be, because that's what growth looks like. Growth is being uncomfortable. So this, I'm going in the right direction. If it's comfortable, then it's like, oh, okay, right. This is going to become a habit. You need to find the next thing that just takes you out of that comfort zone.
Yeah, you're right. Damn it, Prisca, you're going to make me go create a spreadsheet when we finish. So I wanted to talk about being a producer really quickly.
Nice.
And turning what you have into money. I am a freelancer by other trades and I market as a job. I have these skills, but I also don't know how I should package them.
I think, first of all, you need to think about, be realistic with yourself and be honest and be very transparent with yourself, which is quite hard for us to do. But if you know you've gotten to a point in your career, like for example, you're quite successful. So there's something there that people see value in and you know that is valuable. If it's valuable, it can be sold. You can definitely sell it somehow. Just whether it's through speaking, whether it's through events. And a lot of the time when we're at this age, we kind of forget that we can tap into maybe institutions, because they're looking for people that are willing to speak to the younger generation about getting to where we are now. So institutions would be happy to pay for you to speak. And there's no harm in you approaching people and saying, hey, I want to speak about this because I made nothing from to something. This is how much my fee is. Do you think we could do this? I could then bring in more people and we could do this. This could be a regular thing. Like, for example, we're working with bigger businesses now. Mm-hmm. So working with the smaller ones, we don't have that much you know, we're running a business, so we have to be real about ourselves. But what we can do on the side is kind of do little workshops.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like our MD is the content guy, he's going to do a headshot clinic. So stuff like that on the side where we can maybe dedicate 3 hours to on the weekend. And we know people are free on the weekend. Hey, promote it on social media, on podcasts, on radio or press, whatever you want to do. And then people are willing to invest, even if it's £20.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And workshops and things like that is definitely something we were looking at. Also, I think when people are trying to start businesses, because mm-hmm. I guess this is about trying to achieve your goals or starting a project, people are really ambitious.
Mm.
And I want to talk about ambition in, you don't need to be financially free for a start to have a project or a brand or a business. You don't.
No.
But you also don't need to be as ambitious as you think you do. Because if you're trying to be, okay, like if, for example, someone's trying to create their own branding agency, branding marketing agency like yours. If you're looking at Prisca's as like, I want to do what she does, and you're going for it, like from your 0 points to what Prisca's doing, in like, you're not going to do that overnight. Somewhere that down the line, eventually it will get there, but like there actually isn't. It's not like you're thinking there's money freely flowing into the business. It doesn't work like that. It takes a lot of work, and audience development is like the single most essential thing. And we've been doing this for 2 years. So we luckily have built up a really big audience for that. Mm-hmm. So I do think there's a conversation around like people, if some people want to start something, you need to be realistic about what you can tangibly do at the beginning.
And this is a note to self, because only in the last 7 months have I realized that my expectations were so high of myself, and I wanted to be at a high level so bad that I kind of convinced myself that I could do it.
Yeah.
Like that I had, maybe let's say it was a skill, I convinced myself that I can do this skill when I really just couldn't.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. So, which was holding me back from realizing what my strengths were.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, wait, okay, well, I can't do this. Okay, I get it. But what are my strengths? Oh my God, our strengths are content. Our strengths are strategy. We're really good at creative ideas. Let's just sell that. That's our thing.
Let that be
Let that be it. Let me stop trying to create this other thing, and let me just hold on to the strengths and just promote that. And at any level, you're going to have strengths.
Yeah.
You're going to have your strengths. So when I started my agency when I was like 20. I think I was like 22 and Jesus a half Christ. Or something like that. I'm 25
well
now.
Well done.
and my strength was events.
Yeah.
So I did events. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm done. I'm going to go on to this other thing. And that other thing didn't work because I was trying to hold on to something that wasn't my strength. And then I found myself this year going back to my strength and then adding on the other stuff, like the content, the creative, the strategy that were also my strengths. Instead of trying to do this like heavy, heavy advertising and stuff like that, it just wasn't what I had. So you just have to be super honest about what your strengths are.
I agree.
And then just there's somebody that doesn't have that as a strength, so they will pay you to do that.
Never underestimate how quickly you can attract like-minded people to a project. If they want to do it themselves, they will come to you and ask you to do things for a start. So you'll never actually truly need to be alone if you put a call out. Just see what happens. So we need a few resources or tools that people can get started and gain some financial freedom, and or get closer to financial freedom than they were before. Just get started on trying to achieve their goals. I actually bought a book that might be really helpful to people.
What is it?
It's called You Are a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero.
I've got it on audiobooks.
I only just started reading it because I was speaking to someone whose episode will come out a lot later than this about money mindsets.
Okay.
And the relationship we have to money. The idea that how you personally feel about money can also impact how the decisions you make and what you do with your money, essentially. So I know I have a really bad relationship with money, and I also am generally uncomfortable with money.
Mm.
And I also have slightly negative feelings towards rich people, which would mean that I would be uncomfortable myself being rich, which in theory, like, it's an oxymoron, because obviously I would like more money, but if I'm uncomfortable with rich people and I have negative thoughts and feelings about them, then why would I then want to be that person?
Your life goes where your energy flows, man.
Yeah. So I think there is something to really sitting down and looking at our relationship with money. Like, do we have negative negative emotions about it? Do we always feel like we never have it? Because that can also impact how you make financial decisions that can really have long-term impacts on your life.
No, I 1000% agree. We have to change. We have to change our mindset and be like, it's okay. Like, I have this much money, or I want this much money. It's okay. You know, I think a lot of us, especially us that read quite a bit and like overly do it with the consciousness thing and try to, you know, sometimes we're anti-capitalism and it gets to a point where we can't embrace money.
Yeah.
But I personally don't think that's healthy. We're on this world to live it. And having money, there's nothing wrong with it. It's about where you put that money and where you reinvest that money. That's where maybe there needs to be more thought, but making money is okay.
Yeah.
You know,
and the idea that it's, that making it is okay.
Yeah, so okay.
It's like the first step to, yes, I can make money. I'm allowed to charge this much money for it.
Oh, like, my God, yeah.
Getting out of the mindset of no one's going to pay that. Someone will pay it. Like, honestly, someone
And I was going to say that. A lot of the time we put ourselves in a bubble where our network only take us so far that we feel like, okay, well, I have to only charge people this amount. Mm-hmm. And there's a world outside of our world.
Yeah.
And there's a world outside of that world. And that's something to consider, especially when you have a service-based business or you have a service. There's definitely somebody, I used to think to myself, okay, so this events company, they do Chanel's events and they do like 3 events a year, but they have 200 employees. How much would it cost to have 200 employees? Even if they're on 15K a year, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot.
So how much are they charging for these for one event?
Yes.
Then you think to yourself, okay, well, they're 200, divide 200 by whatever. How much should I be charging? Then you start thinking, okay, well, I'm not charging enough.
Yeah. You have to reverse engineer things. So we need an action for the listeners. One action that they can take to get closer to gaining the financial freedom that they think they need in order to progress.
Put your ego aside just a little bit, and have a couple side hustles. And those side hustles don't necessarily need to be like, yeah, I can event plan and I'm going to do this on the side. But it can be, I can event plan, I can do this on the side. It can be baking. It can be, you know, I know somebody that does something full time, but also does security in the evenings. Ooh. Or I know people that bartend in the evenings, you know, four hours or 6 hours and do that. Because that money that you make, say I'm going to take all of that money I make there and put that into my savings, because that could be £600.
Yeah.
That could be £600 a month. No, that could be like £1,000 a month. And then in 6 months, you'll look back and you've got 6K and you're like, wow, like I can actually leave my full-time job and I can go and start this other thing I want to do.
Yeah.
So I would say do that. And like we mentioned previously, figure out what your strengths are and sell them. Look outside of your box. Look outside of your Twitter followers. Look outside of your Instagram followers. Look into bigger communities. Go on YouTube. Go on Facebook. Join Facebook groups and figure out how you can sell what your strength is.
Yes, I concur. I was actually, if I was going to pick the action myself, I would have said just that. write down what you can do. Just list it out. Just list everything that you think you're good at. Just write it down and then figure out how you can make money from doing that. Someone said, I think it was Elizabeth Campbell, who's the producer of The Wooden Overcoats. She said, have as many small revenue streams as you can. Have loads of small revenue streams, because eventually they all add up and you're never too dependent on one big thing.
Let's say Beyonce, if you love Beyonce, was following you on Instagram. How would you sell yourself?
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you would go hard. You would be like, you know what? I can do graphic design and Beyonce is watching, so I'm going to post it. Post as if Beyonce is watching.
Oh, I like that. That is a clear action. Post as if Beyonce is watching. And that is the action for today. Thank you so much, Prisca.
My pleasure. This has been so fun.
Oh, I loved it too. All right. Bye.
See ya.
So that was brand and marketing expert Priska Moyesa. If you'd like to find out more about Priska, you can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Priska Moyesa. That's PRISCAMOYESA. You can also find out more about her agency, Moyesa & Co. at moyesa.co. On Wednesday, Priska and I answer the questions that you have sent in about your careers, brands, and businesses. Some of these questions include, I tried reaching out to influencers and I'm not getting anywhere, or how do I stop being overwhelmed by emails, and how do I deal with a lack of motivation? If any of those questions have crossed your mind or your bestie's mind, make sure you're both subscribed to find out how we overcome these issues. Priska will be back dropping wisdom at the end of the month. Yes, even though it is Christmas. So submit your questions to wannabepodcast.com and hit Ask Priska or email wb@shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. The podcast is created by the Shoutout Network, and Shoutout Network has opened its studio up for bookings. So please visit shoutoutnetwork.co.uk for more information. Please make sure that you are subscribed so that you can receive every episode as and when they come out on Mondays and Wednesdays. Follow Wannabe at Wannabe Podcast on Twitter. You can also visit wannabepodcast.com for extended show notes, and I also send out free PDFs and toolkits every couple of weeks. You can follow me personally at Immy Morgan on Twitter and Instagram. I want to thank you all again for tuning in, and don't forget to enter the giveaway that I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.